I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is where you'll catch the show. If you're interested in a safe space for independent thinkers out there, then this is where you belong each weekday, 9 to 11 o'clock. Lots going on today. Got the political theater's heating up. I'm going to stake an unpopular position on something, as I normally do. I'm steeling myself for it. So we'll talk about what's going on. Pelosi and Trump both weighing into political theater yesterday in big ways. So we'll talk about that. I want to get to the financial news because there must be some really good things brewing out there in the economy. So I always want to get to some good news when I can. But it is with a heavy heart that I bring to you the fact that apparently The Rock. That's right. Dwayne Johnson. Is that his real name? Dwayne Johnson, The Rock, has had COVID. Pretty much led the morning news this morning that I saw, and they did an interview with him. Now, he's fine. He's fine. He looked good, but he did say that this was the toughest challenge he and his family had ever faced. Now, the story that preceded that was about him having COVID. Apparently, he tested positive 2 weeks ago, and now they're fine. But this was the toughest challenge his family had ever faced. Was anybody hospitalized? I don't think so. It was just the diagnosis itself. I saw on the local news they were talking about they're taking support dogs to the schools for the children to calm them down and make them feel safe and secure. I am on record saying on this show many times that I would prefer a dog to run this country than the choices we've been given for probably 50 years. And that is up to and including today. I would rather have a golden retriever. Actually, I think a yellow lab. Yellow lab for some. I don't think I've ever met a mean or menacing yellow lab. They're pretty happy-go-lucky dogs. Yellow lab would probably be my first choice for president of the United States. It's interesting to me when I saw this story of the emotional support dogs that are going into our schools now to calm our children that this what's actually happened is you have adult human beings creating so much fear in the schools as to traumatize our children, and then you have to bring in the dogs to try to take away some of that trauma and try to solve some of that. I was listening to some of the coverage on COVID. And they were talking about schools, and they said aren't really that big of an outbreaks with the students, but there's and they use this term, it's a slight uptick, I believe is what they said, a slight uptick in staff and teachers being diagnosed with COVID. So all hell is not breaking loose in the school system, it seems like, but it did spur me to wonder what happened to about 3 or 4 months ago, I think maybe 3 months ago. Remember 3 months ago when they were talking about this syndrome that was hitting children? Oh, it was so horrible. I can't remember the numbers around the country. It was dozens. This looks like a new symptom of COVID. It's just gone. Isn't that interesting? I mean, supposedly they're telling us the disease is still with us. We need to be on guard and mask up and socially distant, and businesses still can't operate normally. But for some reason, I guess this affliction has just stopped occurring with children. Kind of reminds me of the vaping deaths. Remember last year when vaping was going to kill everybody? And they were looking at having moratoriums on vaping everywhere because look at this. A few dozen vapers had lung problems. I think a couple of them died. They were going to get rid of vaping. Vaping never ended, but the coverage of any kind of death or illness certainly stopped on that. Isn't it interesting how the media can lead us around by the nose to the next latest, greatest tragedy, and then when it turns out to be absolutely nothing, they just they don't apologize. I don't say that they misjudge something. They just move on to the next thing, and we're supposed to just forget it and wait for them to scare us about something else. And now they're terrorizing our children in the schools with these ridiculous mask orders and this social distancing. The chance of a child dying from COVID is about the same as being struck by lightning, yet we do allow children to still go outdoors. Delbert Hoseman, I saw he's doing, I think it was a PSA. I wasn't actually looking at the television screen, but I heard him come on. As I've said, every time Delbert Hoseman opens his mouth, I like him a little bit less, and this was none. He's really did a mask-shaming order, and Tate Reeves has expanded the mask orders for an additional 2 weeks a couple of days ago. So go ahead, keep saying it's all just a Democrat thing. I think I'm getting PTSD from this thing. I'll be honest with you. I think I'm getting I don't know how much more of it I can take. I do not know how much more of this I can watch. If there were no consequences to it, you know, if there was it'd be so different to me. If we lived in a country where a certain group of people got really freaked out about a virus that was amongst us and they masked up and they voluntarily closed their businesses or they voluntarily stayed home and self-quarantined, I might try to tell them, hey, don't be quite so freaked out. It's not that bad. But if they allowed the rest of us just to move about society the way we want to, you know, in the freest country in the world, supposedly, then it would be one thing. But that's not what's happening. It's the hystericals are running our entire society and bossing the rest of us around. As a libertarian, I do not like that the tiniest bit. I would get to my I didn't get a quote of the day yesterday. I realized just as I was about to open the show that I didn't have one, so I have my trusty list of quotes that I keep, a lot of evergreens, and apparently appropriately they are usually from things like founding fathers. I've got some George Orwells and Mark Twain's and things like that, but right at the last minute I found this one that I want to read because it's going to lead into the news that I cover in a little bit. Trump has made a threat that he's going to pull funding from these blue states and blue cities that are allowing the riots to run rampant. I would imagine that's a very popular idea amongst his base. We'll explore that in a little bit. But this is a quote by, this is John Adams, I believe. It's kind of a long one. Yeah, this is John Adams back in 1774. The country was not even a nation by then, but this was the guy who was kind of putting things together and understanding the way that, you know, he was watching the British Empire, the way they bossed people around. And he was setting up to try to figure out, what could we create? What should we be worried about? Well, let's set up our own country over here, an independent country. But what do we need to worry about here so that we can keep this thing going and not end up like the British Empire? This is what he said. Nip the shoots of arbitrary power in the bud. It is the only maxim which can ever preserve the liberties of any people. Again, nip the shoots of arbitrary power in the bud. Now, I want you to notice it doesn't say nip the shoots of arbitrary power in the bud if the party you don't like is using them. He says nip the shoots of arbitrary power in the bud, comma, is the only maxim which can ever preserve the liberties of any people. When the people give way, their deceivers, betrayers, and destroyers press upon them so fast that there is no resisting afterwards. The nature of the encroachment upon the American Constitution is such as to grow every day more and more encroaching. Like a cancer, it eats faster and faster every hour. The revenue creates pensioners, and the pensioners urge for more revenues. The people grow less steady, spirited, and virtuous. The seekers, more numerous and more corrupt, and every day increases in the circles of their dependence and expectance until virtue, integrity, public spirit, simplicity, and frugality become the objects of ridicule and scorn, and vanity, luxury, foppery, selfishness, meanness, and downright venality swallow up the whole society. He did that in 1774, and it's almost like he was able to observe the last 50 or 60 years of the United States as we have slipped into this, because we did not nip arbitrary power in the bud. No, we actually cheer for it as long as it's our team doing it. If you're a Republican, you cheer for the arbitrary power of your guy. Or if you're a Democrat, you cheer for the arbitrary power of your guy. But when the other party does it, you grit your teeth and scream things like that's not constitutional and they can't do that and they don't have the power, and you get all angry and surprised. It's actually quite humorous to watch. Anyways, a big day up yesterday in the stock market. We're going to explore that a little bit. Boy, things must really be turning around in the country. Good news. Be right back. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. Sitting here looking through my notes for today. Boy, I got to tell you, I do not like politicians at all. Well, they're running an ad right now for Joe Biden. Or against Joe Biden, actually. I think it's Americans for Tax Reform or some group. And they're going through all of the times that Joe Biden has stood up in front of an audience and talked about raising taxes. I may flesh that out a little bit later on. I've got the clip and stuff. The brass set of balls it takes to stand in front of a room and tell people you're going to take more of their money. We have allowed this to go so far. And the thing is, I'm about to read a couple of more quotes here. I'm trying to find some solace. I'm doing therapy reading of Founding Fathers' words to remind myself that I'm not the crazy one. I understand exactly what this country was supposed to be about. But I don't think you can anymore if you are a partisan. If you were in love with a party or a politician on either side of this, I don't think you can think clearly anymore. Maybe that's harsh. Maybe that makes people angry. But it's, if you support Joe Biden standing in front of a room on television, I mean, he says it over and over again, that he's just going to take more money. What gives him the right to determine how much of someone's labor he can just take? I mean, he just says it like it's, you know, at least with the mafia, when they come by to shake down your business. You know, you got a nice restaurant here. Sure would hate to see anything happen to it. Nod, nod, wink, wink, you know. You pay us this amount, we'll protect it for you. You know, the threat is if you don't pay us, we're going to burn the place down. At least we don't give that any credibility. We don't say, oh, that's just the way life is, you know. Just pay them. At least we feel like that's a crime. But for some reason, Joe Biden can stand in front of a room and say, oh, yeah, when you elect me, guess what? Your taxes are going up. I'm going to steal more of your stuff. I'm going to take more of your labor. You're going to have to work harder for less. And this is the accepted system in this country. Now, a lot of Republicans will agree with me on that. You know, finally, he's taking on Joe Biden. He's going after those darn Democrats. The thing is the Republican position doesn't impress me a bunch either. You get Republicans that go up and say, hey, right now we're taking 25%. Next year, if you vote for us, we're only going to take 22%. And people applaud that. That's pathetic to me. It would be different if they used our money somehow wisely. I mean, if they're kind of a stated few things the government did and they needed to fund it, I'd still be against it because I think it's unconstitutional to pick money from people's pockets. I mean, I know I talk about this issue a lot. It's just I am so amazed. It's like COVID. Aren't you still talking about COVID? if you see this as some level of a scam, you're still talking about it, aren't you? Well, I feel this way about taxation and about the way our government works against the best interest of its own people. And because we're both so many people are so in love with these two political parties that they just accept that the battle is between tax rates, not whether or not the American people should be saddled with a wealth-destroying tax in the first place. I probably will get back into this later because I really want to take some calls. It's strange. I talk about this a lot. I've never had anybody call in and say, here's why we need to pay federal income taxes, Mike. You don't understand. Here's what you're missing. They need us. It's patriotic, you know, whatever you think it might be, because everybody listening to the sound of my voice pays federal income taxes. You scrimp and save other places. You bargain shop when you're getting a TV or a car. You vast majority of people really try to pay attention to their money. It's kind of important to you. It's one of your biggest assets is your ability to earn a living. Yet for some reason, we roll over like a well-behaved puppy every time they tell us, all right, time to cough up that 25-30%. Yeah, so let me get a little therapy here. This is Thomas Jefferson, 1808. You will soon find that so inveterate is the rancor of party spirit among us that nothing ought to be credited but what we hear with our own ears. If you were less on your guard than we are here at this moment, the designs of the mischief makers will not fail to be accomplished, and brethren and friends will be made strangers and enemies to each other. Huh. 1808. Prophesizing what's going on in the streets in 2020. Brethren and friends will be made strangers and enemies to each other. He's talking about the political parties and what will happen to us as a country. Thomas Jefferson in 1801 says it will be a great blessing to our country if we can once more restore harmony and social love among its citizens. I confess, as to myself, it is almost the first object of my heart and one to which I would sacrifice everything but principle. Thomas Jefferson understood that it is pretty important that everybody is in this thing together, and that dividing us into two great camps and pitting us against each other is not for the good of the country. We ignore that. Anyway, let's get on to the good news is the stock market yesterday had a huge day. Woohoo! Record numbers. Tech stocks keep hitting all-time highs. The Dow is about 1.5%, or it was as of yesterday, from what will be its all-time high. So I wanted to look at exactly what's going on there and take a call real quick. Maybe we got somebody that can shed a little light on the taxation situation.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. You're on the air.
Hey, you know, you were talking about taxes and the criminality of picking people's pockets.
Yeah.
It's interesting to note that just how many different levels of government have evolved into just searching every possible way they can imagine to get money from an unwilling audience.
Yeah, well,
fees, licenses, permits, car tags. You buy gasoline at the gas pump, and X number of cents per gallon. Hidden fees, hidden taxes. I mean, the list is just endless.
Endless.
And it can rack up some serious percentage of your annual income.
Yeah,
easily top 40%.
I flew out to Denver a while back. My plane ticket on Frontier Airlines was, I believe, $19 to get me from Jackson to Denver, which was amazing. But the price of what I had to pay was $65. Everything else was in fees and taxes. So, you know, it was a good 40. I mean, it was a good 60 or 70% of the cost of getting me to Denver was taxes and fees.
Yeah, it would be interesting if somebody could articulate precisely and exactly what quantity of dollars any level of government, whether it's a city, a county, a state, or the federal government, assimilates from all sources. And it just is public information.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I'll put that together because it's I'm sure the statistics are out there. I mean, we know that the federal government collects somewhere around $4 trillion they suck out of the economy. That's in all kinds of taxes. Of course, they spend $5.5 trillion after sucking out the $4 trillion. Yeah, that would be a it'd be a big number. But you know, you said at the beginning of the call, from an unwilling, are we really unwilling to pay taxes? I mean, how in the world do 537 guys and gals up in Washington, D.C. just decide each year how much of our income we take, and 330 million people just say, oh, okay.
Well, you know, we poor sheep, actually. You know, we're not really just living, breathing, thinking individuals. We're sheep.
Yeah.
We're accustomed to being screwed by the government.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Yeah, I think you're right.
And we're just anesthetized to logic and common sense anymore. I mean, just look what's going on now, just right across the board, across the whole nation.
Yeah,
we're a nation of lunatics.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty fascinating to watch, I got to tell you. But it's been going on. COVID is really kind of a manifestation. I mean, this is kind of the most visual insanity we've had. But we've been heading that way for quite a while. So this is really putting it in our face. I don't know where we go from here. I don't really see it changing, to be honest with you. But hopefully I'm wrong.
Well, I think probably about the middle of November, COVID will be an unfond remembrance.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. I don't think so. I think the desire to, you know, for vaccines and control and those things are above party. They're using it to hurt Trump. I don't think this is about Trump. This is a worldwide thing. Look what's going on in Australia right now. I mean, crazy things in, I believe it's Victoria, Australia. I mean, you want to talk about draconian stuff. We saw what happened in Italy. We've seen outside of basically Sweden. The whole world has been decimated by this thing. So I don't know our November elections are going to have that much effect on it. Now, does the media move on because they can't lay it at Trump's feet? Yes, but I don't think the effort at control and fear will stop. That, my opinion, we're certainly going to see.
Who do you perceive as the perpetrators of this pandemic event? That really has no traction. That, you know, the numbers are falling apart. Even the CDC's come online saying that the vast majority of the people whose deaths were attributed to COVID-19 actually were caused by any of a huge variety of other secondary ailments. But I wonder who was so powerful in this world that they can literally control events like this and control so many governments. Is this all just the cabal of money?
Yeah, I think it's the if you really look at the results of this thing, you realize the financial interests have done fantastic. I mean, really, the globalists that people refer to. These are the global corporations. The pharmaceutical companies are crushing it. The tech companies are crushing it. Wall Street is being bailed out. I believe one of the biggest things was this is the biggest cloak for trillions of dollars flowing to Wall Street. You remember, we got very upset when Wall Street got $800 billion or $700 billion in the first round of bailouts. I mean, the Tea Party started, Occupy Wall Street started. We got really mad about that. This time, they've been able to give Wall Street almost 10 times, at least that's the promises. I don't think they've spent all that, given that all to them yet, but they've announced something like $8 trillion in programs for Wall Street and for lending to companies. The Fed is now buying junk bonds. I mean, the bailout that's been going on since COVID started, really, the bailout started back in September of last year. And that's what I think the problem was. They realized that the financial system was in trouble, and they've used the cover of this thing to send trillions of dollars to Wall Street. I think that's one factor in it. I think the health and pharmaceutical companies are really enjoying this idea of, you know, vaccinations and therapies and the gold rush that's involved in that. I think there's a lot of players who benefit from this, and none of them are us. I mean, obviously, this is catastrophic to the average person out here. But if you start following the money and look at who's doing really well right now, those are your suspects as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, but who's at the apex of this? What organization?
Yeah.
A group of individuals sits on the throne of all this kind of shenanigans going on.
Yeah, well, yeah, there's all kinds of different groups. That is kind of weird. I'm not one of these six families control the world and they're lizard people, you know, but there are very powerful groups that can dictate policies that can, you know, if you're talking about the Council of Foreign Relations, you're talking about the Bilderberg Group, you're talking about the World Bank, the IMF. These things are huge, very, very powerful things. If you control the purse strings to a country, the IMF and the World Bank and the WHO, when you start controlling purse strings to countries and telling them, and this has gone on, you know, I think it's in, where is it, Belarus right now. I think they really tried to tell Belarus we weren't going to give you any money, and the leader refused this, and now he's basically being overthrown. You know, we've got another one of these color revolutions going on right now that I would imagine the U.S. is involved in fomenting, along with other Western countries. But that these big organizations will go after leaders if they do not play ball, and that's tremendously powerful.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, but I appreciate it. Yeah.
Comment before I got to go here. Just thank you for all the information you provide people on the radio. I like to expand my horizons.
Great.
You certainly fit that bill. So thank you.
Man, I appreciate that. Thanks so much for the call. Have a good day. All right. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay with me. All night
with the king. Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. Caller before made really kind of a good point. I think a lot of us struggle with. Some people think they've got it all figured out. They know exactly who's behind everything. It's George Soros and, you know, all of these groups. There's just so many people. I mean, George Carlin, I think, had the best description of it when he did his comedy routine that's gotten famous, where he said, "It's a big club and you ain't in it." But what does it take for them to roll out something like COVID? Now, I can understand mayors and governors and Trump and even Fauci, just without knowing Fauci's backstory of his just sliminess. But I could understand a fear sweeping this country for 6 weeks, maybe 2 months. Let's give them 2 months at the beginning of this thing, March and April. We saw China react really heavily to this thing. It gets here, and then we get some cases. And we start seeing people who are getting this thing and there's no symptoms. You would think after a couple of months, like I'd give them 2 months to say, look, maybe you err on the side of caution. China really freaked out about this thing. It seems like it's really hurting Italy. Let's go slow. I wouldn't like it. You know, I think you educate the population and then let everybody live their lives the same way that we do with everything. We know it's not smart to be out in a lightning storm. And if you're in a lightning storm, don't stand right next to the tallest tree in the middle of a field, right? We know these things. They've educated us about this. But they don't make it illegal to go out in the rain. But after a couple of months, this became pretty apparent that this did not have this 3 to 4% fatality rate. It wasn't killing everybody. It was obviously very, very targeted, at even after a couple of months, the elderly that had other sicknesses really were the ones at danger. Since then, I can't really explain why Thomas Dobbs won't let this thing go, why Delbert Hosemann is wagging his little finger at college students who are just trying to live their lives and socialize. It's college. College is fleeting. For those of us who loved college as your first taste of freedom, as a great time to have fun with people and date and kind of feel your way into the world, that transition, particularly if your parents are still picking up the tab, it's a great time. To rob them of even 6 months or 1 year of the only 4 years you get of that particular part of your life is disgusting. And then to wag your finger at somebody and say, you're being irresponsible. You're killing senior citizens. I can't account for that. I don't know what drives these people to continue this hysteria as the slope goes down, as the deaths go down. I don't know. It's not like they're getting some memo from Central Command, some evil cabal home office. Politicians are equally manipulated by mass fear and hysteria too. So who would you have to control to really roll this out in the country? Obviously, Fauci is kind of the kingpin of this thing. Bill Gates and Fauci are kind of together on this deal. But they can't dictate everything. I mean, I don't know what's behind Australia's crackdown right now. The things they're doing in Victoria, down in Australia, it's Chinese style. I mean, the cops are beating people up for not wearing a mask. I mean, real harassment, arresting people for social media posts. I don't know who's behind this. Just understand, and I think that one of the things that I know I struggle with, and I'm probably farther ahead than most people, is you can never underestimate the psychopathy. Is that how you say it? I think it is. The sociopathy, the fact that we are run by people who are psychopaths and sociopaths. People don't want to think, oh, they would never lock everything down and destroy businesses and destroy jobs for no reason, Mike. Maybe they got it wrong. Maybe they exaggerated a little bit, but I'm sure it was a careful No. They don't care. And the problem is that everybody falls in love with one team or the other, and they think that their team really cares about them. And I saw it with Obama, and now I see it with Trump. It's kind of like Fox News. I actually watched Fox News yesterday, first time in a long time, had it on for an extended period of time while I was doing some other work. I was going to talk about that today, too. But it's kind of like Fox News, you know, always talks about the mainstream media. That really cracks me up. Who do they think they are? Fox News is the mainstream media. Now, they are designed to, I mean, it's brilliant marketing. They made themselves the one and only more conservative channel because conservatives were leaving the mainstream media on every other channel in droves. So they said, hey, there's a bunch of people out there that are looking for an alternative. And Rupert Murdoch set up this little thing to pander to the right. And it worked brilliantly, made a lot of money for him. But they report mistruths all the time. All the time. Because they're part of the mainstream media, but everybody thinks, see, everybody picks their person, but we just don't understand what goes on in the minds of these people. They don't care about these jobs lost. Political speeches talking about the middle class or the working poor. I mean, seriously, does anybody out there believe that the Democrats just really love poor people and are just fighting for them day in and day out? Look at what's happened since the war on poverty began. Nothing. Except more poverty. You think that's an accident? You know, Democrats who talk about the war on poverty and all of these things, they understand that as soon as they solve the poverty problem, and then people are successful on their own and don't need the government anymore, they're out of work. So they're not trying to solve anything. And Republicans are not much better. How many election cycles did you go trying to vote out Obamacare? 3, 4? I haven't heard it yet. Is Trump already running ads that if you reelect him, he's going to get rid of Obamacare? Pinky swear this time for sure. So I don't know who's behind all this stuff. It's an amorphous group, and I think it's a lot of people that really, really benefit. But I'm telling you, I'm looking at Wall Street. It's just mind-boggling. Here's what's going on. Yesterday, tech stocks, I think, hit another all-time high. The Dow's about 1.5% from record highs. It must be that all the average Americans out there that lost jobs were rehired. No? Oh, that's right, no. 881,000 filed new claims last week. If that was a year ago, that's about quadruple of what a normal unemployment would be. Quadruple. This year, they're trying to sell it to us as good news. We were expecting 1 million. We only got 881. V-shaped recovery. Larry Kudlow will come out and do a victory dance about how great the economy is. 881,000 new jobless claims. If that had happened in any week last year, it would have been considered Armageddon. But now they've twisted everybody, and particularly Trump supporters. You want to believe in the V-shaped recovery, so you cheer. I actually heard people cheering this. 881,000 people lost their jobs last week, and people were going, well, they beat expectations. All right. Maybe it's the stock market's going up because mom-and-pop businesses are doing better than ever. No? The record closures? Oh, huh. That's odd, isn't it? So Wall Street keeps going up while Main Street keeps going down the toilet. I saw some story yesterday. I can't remember the statistic. It was talking about all these people who have already burned through all of their savings. It was meager savings in the first place. I'll go back to taxation. They tax you to death, so you can't save any money. And then when a catastrophe like their overreaction to COVID hits, you've got nothing saved up. And then the government steals money from you every single year, leaving you essentially destitute. They also inflate prices to make the cost of living go up through the Federal Reserve. So they leave you with just barely hanging on. Then they shut down the economy, and then they want us to give them credit for sending us $1,200. Do you know what a mind game this is? Both parties. Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer sit up there and deliberate how much they're going to take of what we earn every year, every year when they monkey around with the tax code. Must be a great position. How much are we going to take from them this year? I don't know how much we need to run the government. Then everybody laughs. That has nothing to do with it. We're just going to print up a bunch of money. We're going to spend way more than we collect anyway. We're just going to spend future generations' money. So why is the stock market up? While hopes for a V remain, the U.S. trade balance data suggests it absolutely did not occur in July as the overall trade gap of goods and services expanded to $63.6 billion. Anyway, I won't get into all the numbers here. We have the largest trade deficit last month that we've had since 2008. But the stock market's up. That's all that really matters. I saw Donald Trump yesterday at one of his speeches. I think this was in his North Carolina, and he wanted everybody to applaud him. He said, look, stock market's hitting all-time highs. You can all thank me if you got a 401k. And I've got stories here. What time is it? I don't know if I got time to even get to them. I'll read you the title of it. Insider Trading Rife, No Regulators to Be Found. It's a whole story about how all this insider trade, all this suspicious activity going around these stocks, you know, they're set to announce a buyout from something, but 4 or 5 days before the announcement is made public, there's all this spike in activity around these stocks. Well, how many times have we seen the pump and dump with pharmaceutical companies? Our own vaccine czar that Trump named, this slowy guy, made like $2 to $3 million in one day, like 3 or 4 days after he was announced as vaccine czar because he was sitting on a chunk of Moderna stock. Every time there's an announcement about a China trade deal pending, the stocks go up. If you know about the announcement about progress in the trade deal before it's announced publicly, you could have made a killing over the last 3 years. Every time a China trade deal thing is announced, the market goes up. It's a slam dunk. You mean to tell me there's nobody around the administration, nobody in any of these businesses involved in these talks are trading on that information? And golly gee, I wonder where Jay Clayton is. You know, he is the former Wall Street lawyer. The guy running the SEC that should be watching all this insider trading, he actually used to represent Wall Street firms as their attorney. Strange he has not really done anything about all the insider trading that is quite obvious to everybody who's looking. And then I have this other story. I should get into this one. I talk so much about how low interest rates are just screwing the American people and such a boon to the globalists. There's a whole article about exactly how it's happening. It's kind of wordy, though. People probably don't want to hear me talk about interest rates anymore. And once again, it's the globalists that are benefiting from that, and Trump's the one calling for low interest rates. He wants negative interest rates. But he's going to change it. I can't even get into it. Let me take a break. I'll be right back. All night
with the king. Food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
I really don't have time to get into the whole thing about this, the scam that's going on. You know, I mean, Americans need simple explanations, I guess, on everything. Oh, I really don't have time to get into this, try to explain it. The story is about private equity groups. You know what private equity groups have been doing to American corporations for the last 30, 40 years? They raise a bunch of money. They buy the companies. They saddle the companies with a ton of debt, which, you know, gooses it so that these private equity investors can take big profits from them. And then they sell it off piecemeal. This has destroyed American jobs. But everybody says, it's China's fault. It's all China. We got our Federal Reserve sitting here that's just printing up money, devaluing our hard-earned savings through inflation every year. It's China's the fault. It's all China's fault. It's all the Democrats. It's all the Republicans. This political theater stuff I'll get into next hour. It's a waste of time. This story I was going to get into. Low interest rates are just absolutely what we've done for the last 10 years. 12 years now. It's a disaster for us going forward. And the evidence is all around us. But people think that one party or the other, and neither one of the parties is talking about addressing that very, 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 very serious problem. You know who did talk about addressing that really serious problem? Candidate Donald Trump. That's why I voted for him. You know who has not addressed that problem? Hasn't even given it any lip service? President Donald Trump. He switched 180 degrees. He said low interest rates were terrible. Janet Yellen's playing political games. That's what he said during the campaign trail, so he got my vote. And then he got into office, and he said, Jay Powell raised interest rates too far, too fast. He needs to lower them now. As a matter of fact, they need to go negative like the rest of the world. That's President Trump. And that's just creating another disaster.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so. You tell me that you care.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. I could do the rest of my show just on that past news break just then. The stock market's down today. Oh, no. One thing I do understand about the stock market, it's the last thing standing in the U.S. economy right now. It's it. Bond market, too. If that stock market gives way, that's it. The illusion is gone. They have been pumping this stock market through low interest rates, and God knows what else the Fed is doing out there. Is the Federal Reserve printing up money and just buying stocks? Is it the insider trading that's going on? Is that what it is? Is it just people borrowing money at 0% interest rate and putting it into the stock market? But if that stock market goes, and this is why they've blown it into this monstrous bubble, and for some reason Donald Trump keeps taking credit for it like it matters to the average American. I'm glad if your 401k is up, but the consequence, it's not going to matter in 20 years. It is not going to matter in this country if they keep doing what they're doing right now. But the stock market's down. I would anticipate either the Federal Reserve will come out today and announce a new program, or we'll get word that progress is being made on the stimulus talks. It'll be something. Maybe they won't do it today. Maybe if there's actually two down days in the market. See, because the new reality is they don't ever let the stock market go down anymore. They won't let it happen. They'll destroy the U.S. dollar in order to keep the stock market propped up, because it's one little piece of illusion to make Americans think that we're just doing great. It's the V-shaped recovery. I mean, 881,000 people lost their jobs last week, which would have been catastrophic in any year prior to 2020 in the United States. It would have been just considered Katie bar the door, depression era stuff. Now we're supposed to cheer for it. Oh, it's better than the million we were expected. You see how they changed the expectations for you? Jim Thorne just reported on the fact that COVID cases are down. Tate Reeve is encouraged by the trend. Isn't that an interesting thing, the way they did this with COVID? We had 15 days to flatten the curve, and we're now in, what, day 168 or something like that of that? So what they do is, even when we get good news, we still can't go about our daily lives without a mask and opening businesses at full capacity and all that stuff because of what might happen if we can't mess it up now. Hang in there. Keep doing good. The politicians are so proud of us. Thomas Dobbs, he's proud of us. He's still wagging his finger at you. You college students just will not play ball. Try to shame college students, send them home, or do whatever other petty things you're going to do to a bunch of college students who are just trying to live their lives. But what's the bar now? If it was 15 days to flatten the curve and we're 168 days into that, with no end in sight on the mask stuff and closures of businesses or all these ridiculous spacing policies where only one person can be anywhere at a time. What is it, zero? I mean, at what point are we not in danger of overwhelming our precious medical system? At what point is that? When it's eradicated? Is it the vaccine? So what does everybody think about the vaccine? November 1st, we're being told now. November 1st, the vaccine's going to be out. I heard Alex Azar, our Health and Human Services Secretary, on that news break just then saying, we're ramping up manufacturing of all these vaccines because if the trials come in and it looks good, it would be irresponsible for us to have not prior produced all of this vaccine. Now, this is Trump's guy. This is Trump's Operation Warp Speed. This is Trump's administration flowing billions of dollars into a ton of different pharmaceutical companies for a product that has not even been safety tested or anything. And you're going to get that vaccine by November 1st. They say it has nothing to do with the election. I got to say, if it was Obama, I would imagine there's a whole lot of people out there that would be saying, oh, look at that. He's just trying to get it. But you know, no. Not for Trump. He's doing it for the good of mankind. I do encourage people to contact Tate Reeves' office, Thomas Dobbs' office, anybody that you got in the legislature to head off this thing being mandatory before it gets ahead of steam. I mean, a lot of people need to get out in front of this thing so that they know that there's going to be hell to pay if they try to mandate a rushed vaccine. Most vaccines, the number I saw, it takes about 7 years to get a vaccine through trials and everything else. They're trying to do it in 7 months for a disease that is killing almost nobody under the age of, what, 70, 75? And your legislature here in Mississippi and your government here in Mississippi, you know, this Republican red state, we're all about freedom and the Constitution here. We have the worst, most draconian laws about vaccinations here. They will deny access to schooling for your child. Oh, they'll still take your property taxes, but they won't let your child go to school without all of their shots. So don't think for a second that this idea that the hysteria around COVID is just a Democrat plot is just baffling to me at this point. Living in a red state and watching what's been going on here. And I'm telling you, we got one of the worst vaccine Nazi administrations in Mississippi when it comes to our legislature and their refusal to even give people the ability to opt out, not even a religious exemption. You don't like aborted fetal cells in your vaccine? Tough noogies, take it or homeschool your children. And if you homeschool your children, we may need to drop by every now and then to make sure they're okay. We're going to put you into the system just to make sure you're not abusing those kids. I mean, this is red state Mississippi. But really, what's most important is Nancy Pelosi's haircut. That's really where the big story is. It is actually kind of funny. If we were actually addressing any of the real issues, it'd be funnier to me. But she said, came out yesterday and said she was set up. So it's a lesson. I talk a lot on the show about teachable moments to all of you who are Democrats and on the left. These left-wing politicians, these Democrats, they don't care about you. They will throw you under the bus so fast. She's blaming the hair salon. This little business in her state, their business has been decimated. And Queen Nancy calls and says she wants a haircut. I'd bet you don't say no to Nancy Pelosi. What do you think would have happened if the salon that's been cutting her hair for a while had said, no, we're not doing it. We can't. They probably would have had problems there, too. But now she says, oh, she was set up by this. I mean, so this is somebody who she's been going to for years, she said. I'm not a woman, but I know women. A lot of times they get very intense relationships with the people who do their hair. You know, they form a bond that can last years and years and years, right? Isn't that right, ladies? Well, Nancy Pelosi has, I'm sure, the same kind of, you know, relationship. She says she's been going to the same person for years. There must be some reason she did, but it didn't take her, what, just a few hours to throw that hairdresser and the salon straight under the bus and accuse them of setting her up because they caused her some uncomfortable headlines. So she's out to destroy them now. And that should be a lesson to anybody that serves on the left. It's like the rioters going to the Portland mayor's apartment complex. I mean, has anybody appeased the BLM and the Antifa protesters more than the mayor of Portland? But it didn't matter. They came after him anyway. It's almost funny to watch. I'm going to talk when I get back Trump's threat to defund the cities with these protests. Kind of interested to hear what people think. I would imagine this is pretty popular with Trump's base, and I believe that's why it was rolled out in this manner. I think it's a threat. Don't know he'll actually do it. I actually support defunding every city and state, including my own state of Mississippi, to steal money from people across the country and then just make decisions on which state is worthy and how much they get of that money and all that. To take money out of the state, send it to Washington, D.C., let it get chopped up by a bunch of bureaucrats and layers of bureaucracy, and then send what's left back to the states seems kind of inefficient to me. But the idea of going in and defunding these cities, you better be careful what you wish for. I'll give you a couple of things just to think about, just to put in your holster if you ever want to think this through. This is not more presidential power is not the key to solving our problems right now. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Occasionally, I have shows where I start tripping over myself, my words, and it's happening today. I can feel it. I can hear it in my voice. And, you know, I'll be completely honest with you why it is I'm really sick of Donald Trump. Donald Trump is better than Joe Biden, okay? Let me go ahead and say that right now. I can't stand Joe Biden. I'll go off on Joe Biden in just a second. But, man, I got this going to defund these people, it's political theater. It's this threat. It's this idea of, because I understand that at some point we're going to have a Democratic president. What are you going to do when a Democratic president goes, well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. For all you Second Amendment sanctuary cities, defunding. We're defunding you. You get no federal money. I read that quote earlier. I think it was from John Adams or Thomas Jefferson. I can't remember which one, that talked about how you got to nip arbitrary power in the bud. Ah, he was a founding father. That was back in the 70s. You don't understand, Mike. He didn't foresee the radical leftists out there. No, he just knows what happens. George Bush expanded presidential power. Barack Obama expanded presidential power. Donald Trump's expanding presidential power. Anybody see a pattern here? Anybody see the bipartisan nature of the idea that when somebody gets in there, they start taking more and more and more power, and it is going to be used against you? You may be so excited right now that he's going to defund these blue cities. I can't stand these blue cities either. It's their bed. They need to lie in it. If you want these blue cities to change, if the residents, if you live there, I feel terrible for you. How terrifying is it to have these mobs going through there? You never know what they're going to set on fire next. My heart breaks for you. Fix it. Run these people out of office that are allowing this to happen. Fight back. Go out to the streets and defend your property. I'm for all of these things. But for us to set up this king-type situation, I mean, Barack Obama assassinated people with his little drone kill list. Nobody said anything. Donald Trump's better than Joe Biden. So go knock yourself out. Go voting for him. The Libertarian Party is a cluster. It is, I got to tell you, it's a real shame, because really the Joe Jorgensen, she's not setting the world on fire to me. She'd be better than Trump or Biden, in my opinion, obviously, because she would reduce really want to reduce the size of our government and the power that's in Washington, D.C., but she's not inspirational. You know, a third party needs to get a celebrity or something to get the attention of anybody in this country. And Libertarian Party is just, it's a bit of a train wreck. It can't get its stuff together. I mean, to not be able to campaign as a third party, whether it's Libertarian or any other party, has there ever been a year where you could just step into the spotlight and go, look where we are, people. Look at what's going on right now. This is crazy. These two parties have led us down this path. I mean, how hard is it for a third party to be heard at this particular time in American history, yet the Libertarian Party, which is the third biggest party, can't even get heard? They're so inept. See, I'm not even a partisan to the Libertarian Party. I don't like parties. So Trump's threatening to defund these blue cities. And the base cheers for this. I believe this is one of those moves I've been saying. I don't think either Biden or Trump want to win in 2020. The Democrats seem to really not want to win. I'm telling you, I smell a rat. I think that they, along with the media, are trying to hand this thing to Donald Trump. He was so easily beatable 2 months ago. And they have done just about the one thing, which is unleash chaos and violence on innocent people and cheer for it. That's like the one thing the left hadn't really done before. You know, we hadn't seen this level of violence and mayhem. It's like the one thing they could do to really hurt their chances. Well, that and nominate Joe Biden in the first place. But cheering this new presidential power, it's incredibly short-sighted. As I say, knock yourselves out. He has to do something. Okay, well, good luck with that. Unfortunately, I've got kids. I've got to grow up in this country. Some Democrat's going to be yielding that power down the road, too. I thought Republicans were kind of a constitutionally based party, but I don't get the Republican memos anymore. That obviously changed a while back. I watched some Fox News yesterday. It was kind of funny. First time I've seen Fox News in quite a while where I left it on. I saw Freudian slip there. I saw a campaign ad for Trump. And it was an ad about rebuilding the military and taking down the terrorists. It names, the assassinated Iranian general and some of the big name marquee terrorists. It was talking about keeping America safer than ever before. And I looked at it, I actually kind of smiled. I went, does that still work? And I guess to the Fox News crowd, it does. Trump praises himself. He spent $2.5 trillion to rebuild the military that was already taking in $600 billion a year, three times the closest competitor, which is China, which has four times the number of people we've got. And I thought, wow, that still works. And here's why it's really funny to me, that the idea of campaigning on spending trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars that we don't have to build a military to fight terrorism is funny to me at this particular point in our history, and let me tell you why. Because a lot of conservatives and Republicans look at this COVID overreaction and say, what are we doing, right? I know a lot of people are with me on this. Maybe you're not. Maybe you take it very seriously. That's fine. But we say, why are we wearing masks? This thing doesn't kill hardly anybody. Look, the CDC just said only 6% of the total fatalities were due to COVID alone. The rest of them had 2.6 comorbidities. Why in the world are we shutting down the society? Why in the world are we losing jobs? Why in the world are we forced to wear a mask? Why in the world can't our kids go to school? Why in the world can't our restaurants open? This doesn't kill anybody. Don't we all share that frustration? Or most of us anyway? Well, here's the funny little thing about the ad about defeating terrorism. Your chance of being killed by a terrorist is non-existent. Non-existent. Even before the new $2.5 trillion spent, even before this stuff, the threat of you being killed by a terrorist was zero. Absolutely zero. But you want to spend $2.5 trillion on that. You want to let the NSA spy on you. You want to let the Patriot Act go. You want to let them have National Defense Authorization Act that says that they can actually arrest and detain an American citizen for an indefinite period of time with no charges and no phone call and no attorney because of a non-existent threat from terrorism. The TSA will grope your grandmother's genitals in the airport. And Americans just watch helplessly while this happens, fondling our children to go through. Yet the TSA has something like a 90 to 95% failure rate when they're tested about getting weapons or things onto a plane. Now, why that's interesting to me is that, what does that mean exactly? That means that if there were a bunch of people out there hell-bent on trying to terrorize the skies, take down a bunch of airplanes, terrorists, for every 10 of them that wanted to take down a plane, 9 of them would succeed because the TSA fails at that high of a rate. But since planes aren't coming out of the sky, it means really the threat of terrorism is basically zero. You see what I mean? See, fear on the right of terrorism spawned a ton of new government control and a ton of money spent with defense contractors. They made fear on the left of COVID is very similar. It spurs a lot of money flowing. It gets everybody to give up their personal rights and their First Amendment rights. See how that works? It's always fear. Fear is exactly what they use to drive us to do things against our own self-interest. and COVID and terrorism are very similar to me. It's just kind of different sides of the aisle. I got a caller on the phone. Caller, are you with me?
Yeah, hey, this is Arthur. I try to listen to you, but I can't. I don't know. It's too much negativity.
Yeah,
listen to something positive sometimes.
I tell you, I feel that today. I am not going to challenge you on that at all. I'm kind of grumpy almost.
I understand. I guess I ride around all day, you know, and I listen to talk radio most of the day, and I try to listen to you, but sometimes I just have to turn it off because it just seems like there's a lot of. Too much negativity, I guess.
I absolutely agree with you. You know, I really need to probably bring a co-host in here. I'm actually in my real life. If you ask anybody, what am I like? They go, oh, the guy's hilarious. And so, so I struggle. I come in here sometimes, but it is aggravating to me to see us making these huge mistakes. And to be honest with you, what's really bugging me today is so many people who I think are the more sane, more thoughtful people in our society, which are typically Republicans and conservatives. No offense to my liberal friends who I love. And you got a good heart. I just don't think. Anyway, conservatives and Republicans are standing down right now and allowing a bunch of things to happen that I'm surprised by and I'm depressed by.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. I agree. Well, I'm a strong Republican, but like I say, I don't know. I
gotta
have some positive.
I hear. Well, I'll look through my notes and I'll see. I'm about to have to take a break, but when I come back, I'll try to find something. Because I absolutely, totally agree with you. Sometimes I get sick of hearing myself when I start talking about these things and get on a little bit of a rant. So no complaints from me. Thanks for probably a good check on the air for me. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
I'm not going to criticize that call. Yeah. It just gets, you know, and it's funny because I'm a consumer of talk radio and podcasts and stuff too. And I can get that way. And there's a lot of very, very talented, much more talented than I am when it comes to talk radio. And they can get very intense. I mean, sometimes I like the really intense stuff. I talked about this this David Knight guy. He's got a podcast. I listen to it all the time. But the reason I like him, it makes me realize I'm not crazy. At this point in our history, right now, this year in particular, I don't think I'm always real negative. I try to do some funny stuff. I'll do, you know, Friday, I'll try to end on a funny note. We usually get a bunch of funny clips and things to play. And I don't really even take life that seriously in my real life. It's like I feel like I'm living in a world with two cults. And the problem is that they're dragging me along with them. I didn't join either one of these cults. I used to be part of one, but I didn't think it was as cultish back then. Maybe it was. But I left them, and it's like, but I can't get away because I have to live with the consequences of these two cult groups that are screwing everything up, making these horrible mistakes. That's maybe offensive to some people, but that's kind of where my headspace is. It's where my frustration comes from on some of these things. And the thing is that there is hope. You know, I played to the caller. A couple of days ago, I did several stories. I did a funny flight attendant doing stuff over the intercom of a plane that had the plane all laughing. And I said, this is what normal life is like. It's what it's supposed to be. People bringing some joy to each other. I played a clip of two white cops who saw a young black kid at a Walmart helping a blind man. So they went out and gave him like $5,000. They raised some money to applaud him for having this. And the kid's mom was suffering from cancer, so the $5,000 was really needed by the family. It was a very uplifting story. I did the story of the guy who was drawing the track on the driveway for the neighborhood kid so he could ride his bike there. That's what I want this life to be. And it could be that way if we would just wake up and realize we're not being served by politics. My whole point of that entire segment was, this is what life would be like in interpersonal relationships if it really wasn't for politics and politicians and the way they screw stuff up. So it's like there is the solution to it. It's just, it's almost like on air, I'm trying to deprogram people. Just shake them awake. I reach through some speakers and shake you awake. I don't know how to do that effectively every day. And today may be one of those days. But it's like it's right there for us. There's so much good in people. There's so much positivity that people can bring to each other, but we're seeing the streets explode into flames, and it's political. It is because these nut job groups have got us fighting with each other. It's incredibly frustrating to watch and just say nothing. And I bring up stuff like the financial stuff, which is also depressing right now. I didn't create that. It's just we've allowed the system to be corrupted because I want people to see, look, black, white, young, old, rich, poor, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal are all getting screwed. That should be a coming together moment. I'm not going to lead any kumbaya moment in this country right now, to be sure, but I think it's worth kind of illustrating that we are all in this together. The 99.9% of us are really all in this together. And we have to remove our consent to this system. We have to stop emboldening it. And when people for 8 years thought Obama was this different guy, hope and change, and they threw everything behind him, and he became like a cult leader. I watched it with a great amazement, but I guess I wasn't surrounded by a whole lot of Obama adorers. Now I'm surrounded by a bunch of Trump adorers, and I'm seeing us make the exact same mistake again that the left made with Obama. Because everybody falls in love with their politicians. Anyway, I don't know I necessarily lightened it up after that call. I'm going to look through my notes. Maybe I'll call an audible here because I'm looking through other stuff I've got today. And I don't know there's anything that's really going to elicit a smile. Of course, if I go after Joe Biden, it would be much more popular. I'm telling you, I think I might do this just because I don't know. I'll take a look at my notes. Got to regroup. Be right back.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You got some good news for me out there? You know, the caller is really dead on right. I mean, I don't like all the negativity. I talked yesterday. If anybody took my advice, I tried to bring a little joy to someone's life. Have you ever seen David Blaine's Street Magic? David Blaine yesterday did his balloon lift thing. He took 52 helium-filled balloons and was drug up to almost 24,000 feet. I watched the whole thing. It's just very interesting what people can do. And I got to tell you, as somebody who doesn't like heights, as I've gotten older, I have gotten really freaked out by heights. I get this strange tingling. I can't watch certain like Daredevil videos. There are videos out there of these people who get on the hoverboard things, you know, the things you stand on. You got the little two wheels and you can make it go forward and backwards and spin around and all that stuff. Like a lot of emergency room physicians know what I'm talking about because apparently they've flooded. We should have abandoned hoverboards so that we didn't overwhelm our medical system a couple of Christmases ago. Because from what I understand, people trying to get on these hoverboards, particularly older people, we're busting their butts at record numbers and going to the emergency rooms. I don't know how we can be allowed to have these hoverboards with their inherent dangers. But there's videos of guys that get on these hoverboards. They go to the top of skyscrapers and they go like right to the corner up on the ledge. And I can't even watch it. I get this strange tingling up the front of my shins and the back of my hamstrings. It's the weirdest thing, but I just cringeworthy. But I watched this David Blaine thing. The guy with a team of people all committed to this one task to do something that was just entertaining for the people because of its danger. And he sits there, and over the course of about 30 minutes, he leaves the ground with these balloons and goes up 24,000 feet. He has to figure out how to breathe. It was really very impressive thing to watch. And then he skydives down and everything works out great. He's in communications with his daughter and they kept telling each other they loved her. She's on hand to see her dad do this great thing. I kept thinking right before he took off, he handed his daughter something. It might have been weighted or something. It was like one of the things that was keeping him to the ground. And basically, he handed her this gift, and then he took off. And I just thought, oh, wow. Boy, if that didn't go well. I mean, it would be nice you had your last minute with your daughter, but for her to be on hand to see that, to see something go wrong, because a lot could have gone wrong. But that's what I'm talking about. That's what life should be. That's what I'm arguing for. That's really what libertarians are arguing for. If you're not really familiar with our group, and I know a lot of people, oh, you're crazy. Just leave people alone. People just need to do what people do. People are actually pretty good. That's even I'm probably more positive about people than a lot of people are. A lot of people say, well, we're warlike creatures. I don't believe that. I think if we were warlike creatures, you know, people talk about these endless wars. Well, that's just the way it is. People are always fighting about stuff. Well, then why doesn't Mississippi want to invade Alabama? Because we've got some commonality. We're not even really mad at Alabama. And they make some pretty bad jokes about us. I'm going to tell you, I know some Alabamians. To be fair, we make jokes about Alabama, too, because they're one of the few targets that we feel justified in firing at. But we don't hate each other. We're happy to get along. We travel to each other's states. See, that's kind of the libertarian dream. Just everybody, leave everybody alone. Just coexist. And it's not the hippie coexist that everybody gets mad at, but I like the coexist thing. That's what we should do. If everybody was left to their own devices, we would self-congregate in groups of people who thought like us or that brought joy into our lives, and we would ignore other people. It'd be like, there'd be some clickiness to it, you know, I guess, but without the power of government forcing us to do this or forcing us to do that and stripping us of our wealth and pitting us against each other in the streets, you would really find people get along. I saw something, a thing yesterday that said race relations in the United States at all-time low. And I thought, wow, that's not my experience moving about society. I go into a convenience store here. I'm a white dude. And there's a black clerk. Half the time they call me sweetie. Hey, baby, how you doing today? And I say, great, how are you? I don't know her. She doesn't know me. Now, if I were to ask if she was a Trump supporter or a Trump hater or a Joe Biden, you know, I could stir up some controversy if I really wanted to. But no, we just interact. I just left. Maybe the best neighbor I've ever had. Black woman. She seemed really sorry to see me go. Because that's how we interact. That's what the polls say. It's politics are destroying this. We've got to free ourselves of this stuff. It's not going to get any better. And here's probably why I'm getting a little dour. I got to tell you, have you ever, like, you got something coming up you're not looking forward to in your life, and it kind of makes you grumpy before it even happens? And I'm kind of a Zen guy. I study Buddhist philosophy, not as a religion. Don't anybody freak out. I'm some radical Buddhist on the air. No, but the philosophy is very calming and very centering and very puts a lot of things in perspective. There's a lot of very similar philosophy in Buddhism and Christianity and the religions if you actually embrace it. But I like Buddhist philosophy because it does have some good perspectives on life. And it tells you not to endlessly obsess about either the past or the future, that, you know, you don't know really what's going to happen, but we can't help ourselves. A lot of us do that. So you see something coming up and you kind of get grumpy and a little moody, and maybe you're rude to your spouse or your children, or you're grumpy at work or whatever, just because this thing's just weighing on your mind as you go through your day. It's not your spouse's fault. It's not your kid's fault. And sometimes the better ones of us go to them and apologize. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm just under a lot of stress. That's kind of where I am right now with this election coming up, I got to tell you. Because there is not, that I can see, a good solution come November. It feels a little bit like, you know, I'm trying to hold a car back a little bit. I'm trying to preach to not get so involved in this system that is poised to really rip us apart on November 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 10th, 20th, 30th, Christmas Day. I mean, this thing could drag on for forever. And I got to tell you, mentally, I'm dreading it. Because there is not, you know, nothing's going to happen on November 3rd. And I could be wrong. I hope I am wrong. But nothing's going to happen on November 3rd that's going to bring us together. And it's not an end date for what we're seeing right now. To me, it seems like it's going to be an escalation date, which makes me especially grumpy. Anyway, got a caller on the line. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, sir, I am. You said something just a moment ago that made me want to share something with you, my philosophy. I'm also like you. I'm a conservative libertarian, And I say about things that, such as the rioting and what have you, be the eye of the storm. Let chaos reign around you. Be that calm center.
Yeah.
And you'll be all right.
Yeah. I think you're right. To get involved in the emotion of this thing on either side. And there's plenty of blame to go on the left. I don't let them off of it. But participating in it, stoking it, you know, a lot of people seem excited about the idea of some real fight. Bring it on, that kind of attitude. There just doesn't seem to be a good end to that to me.
Well, in my younger day, I used to enjoy a fight, but I'm 70 now, and I don't heal up very well.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it's my age that's got me a little less aggressive on this whole thing. It's funny. I don't really look at it for myself very much at all. It's not like I'm some great guy or anything. It's just I look at my 19-year-old kids and I go, man, just let them live the kind of life I lived. You know, just everybody just calm down and let's give my kids the same chance that so many of us had.
Well, I hope they get it.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. And hopefully I am dreading, you know, it's like I say with life, a lot of times you just really dread something coming up, and then it happens, and you go, oh, well, that wasn't that bad. And maybe that'll be the case, but so far it's in my head that we are headed down a very, very dangerous path, and more dangerous than at other times. I mean, politics is always contentious, and we've seen a lot of partisanship. We're killing each other in the streets right now. It kind of seems like playtime's over.
Well, you've been such a pathfinder. And I hope that you're not really on the right trail, because you're predicting some gloom and doom.
Yeah, I agree. I hope I am dead wrong, too. I'm somebody that one of the most freeing things in my life was, I don't know, it was probably 10 or 15 years ago. It's embarrassing it took me that long in my life, but there's a freedom in being ready and able to admit that you were wrong, because then you don't have to cling, you know, you kind of let go of some of your ego and just say, oh yeah, I messed that one up. Boy, I hope this one is one of those things. I'll do all my mea culpas I need to.
Yes, sir.
Hey, well, thanks so much for the call. I sure appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Quick break. We'll be right back.
If you are considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment for the day here on the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We only get, for most of us, what, 70, 80 trips around the sun in our life? You know, try to be happy, try to live a good life. I mean, I think a lot of people take ourselves too seriously. I'm really reacting to that call about the fact that the show was getting depressing today, and I totally agree with him. No complaints. Probably a good pulling back of the ledge. Here's the weird thing that I see as I prepare for the show, as I talk about stuff. It's like in my real life, I don't take myself too seriously. Anybody who knows me will know that I try to bring a smile and a laugh to just about every, even when things are emotional. I had a friend telling me some very nice things about me a couple of weeks ago. I just kept cracking jokes, and they went, would you stop doing that and just accept the compliment? I said, okay. You know, I'm uncomfortable with praise. But we don't want to take ourselves too seriously and stuff. The problem is that if we're not engaged in this stuff and we just let the nut jobs run the show, it's like you have two jobs you have to do. You have to live your life and just interact with people like a human being. I've said with my kids, I don't know what will turn out to my kids. They're 19 years old. They could be Fortune 500 CEOs. They could be a dentist or a janitor. I don't know what they're going to do. But my main goal, getting them out into the world, was to create a decent human being. being nice to other people, considering other people's feelings. That's the core to me. I'll be successful if I think I've got good quality human beings out there. The financial stuff, the achievements, that's really not as important to me. Put out some good human beings. If we were just good human beings, then that's one of the jobs we have to do. But we have to stop these power-hungry people from taking over our lives. And they're doing that. So how do you do both things? How do you not take yourself very seriously and just enjoy your life, not wallow in the negativity of this show today or the news or any of that? How do you do both things? Because if you abdicate, if you just check out, which a lot of people are doing, and I totally get it, if you just check out, the people that are still really engaged are going to take us way off course, over the cliff at this point. There are not sane heads, not Nancy Pelosi, not Donald Trump, in my opinion. There is nobody at the helm of this thing that I trust. So it's like, yeah, I'd kind of like to just come on. Here's a great tip. I'm going to bring a little joy to your life. This show is a little racy, but I found it on Netflix, and I'm just going to give you something to do over the Labor Day weekend. You can try it. If you liked Monty Python, I was a Monty Python fan. Just goofy, funny British humor. It's not for everybody, but I liked it. There's a show on Netflix called Norseman. And I think it's very Monty Python-esque. Now, you didn't tune into the show to get a Netflix recommendation, but if you want to find something, just a little bit of a mindless chuckle to just enjoy yourself. And it's a goofy little show about the Vikings. But I think it's funny as hell. And so that's my private life, so I'll take those times to decompress and just enjoy myself, enjoy a funny entertainment product. But it's a real hard, tight wire to walk, because with this show, I'm trying to get people to think a little differently about a few things, because I think that's really where we're lacking. We've been thinking the same way for decades now. I don't think it's working. I really don't think what we've been doing has been working. So trying to adjust that while keeping a positive attitude, kind of difficult, because you got to point out the problems with what we have right now. Anyway, I'll work on it. You have a good day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.